the biggest stories from the pages of the London Free Press and lfpress.com. This is the London Free Press Podcast with your host, Rachel Gilbert.
Welcome to the London Free Press Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Gilbert. Nearly 5 years after he was hit by a driver while riding his bike, 22-year-old Tristan Robey has seen justice served. Robey now lives with a severe brain injury, in a wheelchair, with Parkinson's-like symptoms after being hit and dragged by the car, driven by a man who wasn't supposed to be driving at all. Today, I'm talking with London Free Press crime reporter Jane Sims about the sentencing of 31-year-old Jesse Bleck. Hi, Jane. How are you?
I'm fine, Rachel. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a little while, but I know you just came out of the sentencing of this case, so it's kind of all wrapped up now. But let's start from the beginning and talk about the crash. Tell us what exactly happened. It happened July 21st, 2019. How did this crash occur?
Well, and I just want to start by saying it has been a long time. This has taken a long time to get to a conclusion. Tristan and his best friend had were on their bikes and they were going night fishing. They were out on Exeter Road when Tristan was struck by a Nissan Altima that we now know was driven by Jesse Bleck and had a couple of passengers in it. They had been to Port Stanley and they'd driven around. They were able to, we found out the trial through cell phone pings where they'd been. Tristan was struck. The bicycle was lodged underneath the car. He was left in the ditch, and the car continued on for almost a kilometer to the Casablanca Motel parking lot, if you can picture that, near Wonderland Road. Once it got there, Mr. Bleck and another man got out of the car. They had been followed by someone who wanted to confront them. One guy stayed with the car. Bleck and the other fella took off across a plowed field. If you know London, there is a rural area there. And they disappeared into the night and ended up, well, as we found out again at the trial, at a relative's house. And Jesse Bleck spent the next 6 months on the run and hiding and avoiding any kind of responsibility, even though there was an active police investigation. And even though Tristan had been, as his family said, left to die in that ditch, Tristan suffered a severe brain injury on top of all the other broken bones and bruises and lacerations. But basically, his brain injury is such that he, at age 22, the last 5 years have been beyond comprehension. He doesn't speak. He has developed in the past year these Parkinson's-like syndrome. He has seizures. He cannot do any of his he needs help with every single part of his life. Everything from toileting to, you know, getting him in and out of bed. He's fed through a tube. It has just been a terrible thing. And this was a young man with great dreams of being an entomologist and heading off to Lakehead University with his friends that fall. And his life was just, his life and the life of his mom and his sister were shattered at that moment.
Yeah. So, and they've spent the last 5 years caring for him.
Yes. And, you know, this it's not been, it certainly has not been easy for Abby, who I have to tell you is one of the most caring and concerned and demonstrative advocates for her son. But, you know, she's lost so much. She doesn't work. Her savings is gone. Are gone, I should say, and you know, they, it looks as if, and she's been very candid about this, that, you know, Tristan's life expectancy has been obviously shortened, and he is coming to a point where she is resigned herself to the fact that he may not live much longer.
This trial has been a very long time coming, as you said. And I remember when this crash first occurred, and we were looking for the person who hit Tristan. This was a big news story back then. So how was Jesse Black finally arrested? Where was he found? Because as you said, he was on the run for about 6 months.
Sure. And I will say this. I think the police had a pretty good idea who did it. But they didn't have the evidence to charge him for 6 months. What eventually happened is that, you know, Black's activities kind of got caught up with him, and particularly with his ex-girlfriend, who's the mother of one of his children, who in December of, I guess it'd be 2019, went to the police after there was some conflict with Black's family, and told them that Jesse was the one who hit Tristan. And as you said, this was a highly publicized event. They were looking for who had done this. So at that point, Black was arrested and charged. And there was lots of evidence collected, but really they needed the testimony of people who knew that he had done it for him to be found guilty. So this was a protracted courthouse proceeding, and it went on way longer than anyone ever expected. He ended up having a jury trial last summer. We are about 3 weeks shy from a year from when that, what was supposed to be a 3 week trial, started. It ended up lasting 6 weeks. And during that trial, the former girlfriend testified, and she recanted and had memory loss and, oh, I can't remember anything, but they did have statements. They had police statements where she had pinned it on him. And she would call in sick. She couldn't get rides to court, all sorts of things. And then another witness was called, and he was one of the passengers in the car. And he was a young man who had obvious drug addiction problems, who came in and tried to put in the save and said that he was driving, when it was clear from other eyewitnesses, such as the witness who had chased the car down, that the person that had gotten out of the driver's side looked more like Jesse Black. And in the end, the jury sided with Crown and believed that Black was the driver. Now, that trial was done at the end of August, by the end of August, finally. But then the sentencing was, it took months to get to sentencing, to get a pre-sentence report done, and to Black changed lawyers, and there was delay. He should have been, honestly, with the conviction last August, he should have been sentenced before the end of 2023. And here we are in the middle of 2024, and we've just gotten it done.
Wow.
And so it's been a terrible journey for the Roby family, not just because of what's happened to Tristan, but the added stress of what happened in the criminal justice system. It's just been beyond comprehension.
How did he, maybe Black didn't, but how, it seemed like he had a lot of people trying to take the blame for him.
Right.
Do we know how that came about? Do we know why they were doing that? Why they were changing statements, saying they had memory loss?
We can speculate, but we can't speculate, if you know what I mean, right? Sure. I mean, I will tell you this. Jesse Black has had a long history with criminal justice system. A lot of it, his most recent stuff is a lot to do with driving a car when he's not supposed to. He doesn't have a license. And he has been prohibited from driving over and over again. And even after he was arrested for this and he was out on bail, he got caught driving again. One of the features of this sentencing was the pre-sentence report that was completed by a senior probation officer here in London who also teaches at Fanshawe. And there were some challenges made by the defense and tried to say that Jesse didn't say what he said, although she had notes and she had the whole thing peer reviewed because it was so controversial. Basically,
and what did he tell her?
Basically, Black said he doesn't think the rules apply to him, that he's above the law, that he has no respect for the law. He has been on probation several times before, and it's just been sort of a cursory attention to it. He does not comply with court orders, and he is defiant, and he has a history of this. So it was obvious, I think, to anybody who watched that trial that he did not want to be incarcerated. He does, but he also did not want to take responsibility for anything.
Sure.
And that's kind of been a pattern.
Yeah.
And is not taking responsibility.
And somehow other people were willing to take responsibility for him, had they believed them. Was he drinking and driving at all, or is it just driving? Has he had a history of drinking and driving, or is it just the driving part?
It's just the driving part. He's never been caught.
Right.
He was charged once with failing to provide a breath test, right?
Okay.
But he was associated with another case years ago. I don't think it's any. It was a bizarre case of a woman who had been kidnapped in town. It was bizarre. This was his ex-girlfriend who these people had gone to the house because there was a there they were producing shatter, a byproduct of marijuana there. So, and that was, I'm not saying anything that isn't already, we haven't written about already, that this had happened. So he's had a history. He's had a history with the criminal justice system, and he's been well known.
Let's talk about Tristan's family. Abby Roby, as you said, has been such an advocate for her son, speaking a lot about how they are feeling, how they're coping, how Tristan is doing. How have they held up? Like, I mean, your son has had a life altering, almost deathly crash, and then nobody seems to want to take responsibility for it. I mean, how has she been feeling the last 5 years?
You know, she said something yesterday that was, you know, Abby says a lot of really profound things. But one thing she said yesterday, she said, you know, why do we have to have it come to this? You know, he had all kinds of time to stop. And let's talk about exactly what he's been convicted of. It's failing to stop at a crash and driving while prohibited. That failing to stop and taking responsibility is a very serious charge. And it's one of those charges that Parliament says we need to punish, because people need to, if you do something wrong, you got to stay and stick there. Okay.
Sure.
You have to, you're not supposed to take off.
Yeah.
If you know, she said this was an accident. We wouldn't be here if he'd just stopped, if he'd stopped and taken responsibility. And instead, she used the term, he dragged us through the mud and he prolonged this trial. And he still won't take responsibility because he is maintaining he did not do this. And that has taken a toll on all of them. And she says it's taken a toll on Tristan. But she, you know, she would come to court and she'd bring Tristan to court with caregivers. And she wanted to make sure that Jesse Black knew that she was there. She said yesterday, you know, this does not change what's happened to Tristan, but maybe it's going to tell people out there, you know, maybe you think you can run, but you can't, you know, you've got to take responsibility for what you've done.
Right.
So
Tristan earlier this year was able to give a victim impact statement through his mother, because he can't speak. But he did help write it with her, right? Because he can communicate with her through blinking. So talk about how they were able to write that, and what did he say? What was in the victim impact statement?
Well, that victim impact statement was years in the making. Mm-hmm. And there was a point after the crash that he could speak a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit. And they'd been working on that for a long time. And basically he said, you know, my dreams are gone. I had dreams. And I had a future, and you've taken it away from me. It's gone. It's gone. All the things I wanted to do, my life is gone. I'm trapped. I'm trapped in this situation. And his reality doesn't change. And, you know, it, Abby has always said that Tristan has hung on to see that justice was done in this case, that he really wanted to be there and wanted to know that Black had been convicted and sentenced. And she's of the belief that that's what he held on for.
Wow.
So,
that's heartbreaking.
But yeah, it's, you know, you go one day from going fishing with your best friend and the next day, you know, you start this odyssey where every day, especially in the early days, doctors were convinced she were going to die and never regain the life that you once had, the girlfriend, the good friends, the future, the, you know, all the things that you wanted to do. And, you know, it's an exceptionally sad story.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Yeah. Wow. It's heartbreaking to hear about, you know, what they've had to live with and, you know, and just that he held on for this.
Although I will tell you, Rachel, can I just say this?
Sure.
If you met Abby Roby, I will say it, an impossibly upbeat person.
Oh, and wow.
Feisty and upbeat, and nothing was going to get in her way from making sure she saw this to the end. And, you know, you can't help but admire her for what she's done.
Remarkable. Wow. Black's lawyers had requested a conditional sentence, which is something to be served in the community. Is that right?
Conditional sentences take on different, but most of them are house arrest. It was, if he was looking for an 18-month house, you know.
Sure.
And, you know, climbing at home.
And
yes.
Was that ever even a possibility? Was that entertained in this at all, in this trial, in the sentencing?
Well, Justice Tranquilli, Kelly Tranquilli, made it clear in her reasons that, no, this was not appropriate in this case. The argument from Black's lawyers is that he wanted to be at home because he has a young son. He has three children by three different moms, and he has a young son. Who he needs to look after, who needs him, and he was never going to get a huge amount of time. That the Crown asked for 5 years globally for the two convictions, if the judge had been convinced that this case was was punishable with a sentence of 2 years less, or less than 2 years, I should say. He could have got a conditional sentence, but she said no, not given what's happened, not given the kind of offender he is, not given you know, his, you know, a whole raft of factors, and the fact that she said that she thinks he's a danger to the community, that he's got to be removed from the community, or he's just going to get in the car again, and somebody else might end up like Tristan.
Sure. Sure. So he's been sentenced. What was the sentence? Has he had time served at all?
Yeah. So the global sentence was 4.5 years.
Okay.
Which is just below what the Crown asked for. Justice Tranquilli said in her decision that there is a glimmer there, maybe of rehabilitation, and encouraged him, once he got inside, to take the programs, get his high school diploma, do the counseling, and come back out as a fully, you know, contributing member of society. But it was clear from that sentence that she was more in tune with what the Crown wanted. He does have some time served, from the beginning, before he was put on bail, and he had an ankle bracelet as well. But so he still has 3 years, 9 months, and I guess today it'd be 12 days left to serve.
Okay.
On that sentence.
But even during the sentencing, he was maintaining his innocence, was he not?
Oh yeah. And what
right.
he did too is, and I think that this was insulting to Abby, and she would tell you that, is that his lawyer said that he was too nervous to talk to the court himself, but had the lawyer read a statement in which he said he was sorry for what happened to Tristan, but he was still maintaining his innocence, and that, you know, that Abby said was hard to hear. that she
And what
still
does he say happened? Does he blame someone else for driving?
Well, he wasn't called to testify, right?
Sure. Okay.
So, you know, we don't know what his version is. I mean, that was a choice he made at the trial. And there's lots of reasons for him doing that. Like he is, you know, he does not have to, you know, he is innocent until proven guilty.
Yep.
And you make choices as far as your strategy is. And the choice was made that he would not testify. So, but he says it's not him. I didn't do it. I was not.
Okay.
So,
He's been sentenced now. How does the Roby family feel about this sentence, and where do they go from here? What happens to them now? Because this is, I can only imagine, consumed them for the past 5 years.
And you know, in so many ways, it will still consume, right? Because as much as this part's done, the reality doesn't change for them.
Sure.
At this point, right? Tristan is never going to recover from this. But does a chapter close here? Yeah, it does close. The chapter that closes is the criminal justice part. And that's a hard part. It's a hard part to navigate. And particularly when this thing went on for almost 1 year, I never thought at the end of that trial that we would see a sentence happening in June of 2024.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. It's been a long time coming. Well, thank you, Jane, for being with us today. I know we've been following your stories on this throughout the last 5 years, for sure. And we'll follow them still at lfpress.com. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Rachel.